We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for this? Write this sentence down. I would like to claim originality to this sentence, but I got to give credit where credit is due. There's a great guy in our church. His name is Dr. Denny Holland, psychologist, and he gave me this great thought, this great line. God's plumb line, we're talking about Daniel, and we're talking about cancel culture and what that means. And I want to look at it in light of Scripture, not just what's being talked out there and on the media. God's plumb line isn't measured through a lens or a cultural lens of collective opinions and feelings. God's plumb line is not measured through a cultural lens of collective opinion and feelings. We have a true north. It is the Bible. It is not what culture says is right or wrong, because that goes right back to the garden with the enemy who said, did God say? And who is God to say what is right from wrong? We get right from wrong from the Word of God. Look at this here. See this here? This is the Bible. And I believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. I believe in the authority and the authenticity of God's Word. Amen? We have what we consider today in the world, cultural norms, cultural values, cultural acceptances, cultural non-acceptances, which is where a lot of these ideas of canceling things have come from. And that works on both sides. Are you hearing me? Because I actually think we got to be careful we don't lose the freedom of speech. Someone say amen. And I, to me, I want to show you that I think here that the great and the most important theme of Daniel, and as we read the book of Daniel, is there is but one God who is Jehovah, and that He is sovereign over the events of history. And I don't think any book in the Old Testament speaks to this better than the book of Daniel. That God is sovereign over the events of history. Too many Christians today feel like unless we say what we need to say and confront what we need to confront, that somehow America's lost. And I do believe we ought to have a voice. But I believe we've got to make sure that when we have a voice, the voice actually is not just our voice, but we're coming from it based from the Word of God. Amen? Jesus, many times, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, I'd have fought you. But my kingdom is another place. He said to Pilate, listen, if my kingdom was here, I'd come against you. But my kingdom, we are citizens of heaven. And the biggest goal I pray is that we understand that we don't just fixate on earth life. We need to do earth life well. But we've got to live our life with a context of eternity. And we will spend a whole lot more time in eternity than we will on earth life. And if we fixate on just the things that actually are not as important to God as the things that we fixate on, we could waste earth life. Amen? And we could be putting out fires that God never even started and God was not into. Are you hearing me? And we could be scratching when nobody is itching. And the church is famous for answering questions nobody's asking. And we can major on minors and minor on majors. And I see it happening all over our nation. I see it happening, not just Wave Church, but the church. And it's what motivated me to teach out of the book of Daniel. Believe me, I'm well read on the book of Daniel, not just of recent times, but in Bible school. This was one of the major books of the Old Testament that we studied in terms of Bible prophecy. The book of Daniel is significant in the Old Testament, I believe, is the book of Revelation in the New Testament, because it spans so much of what happened in history and what is to come. It actually speaks of end times, if you didn't know. And I'm not even trying to deal with that aspect. I'm trying to deal with really just talking about Daniel and how that Daniel was placed in a king's position over four different emperors and kings over 80 years and had influence over four different governing authorities. Are you hearing me? How I believe God's called you and I to be Daniel in our world. And how Daniel lived what Daniel pushed back on, and listen to me, what Daniel did not push back on. And we're going to learn from the Word of God what that looks like, how to be people who are living, understanding we're just passing through on this earth life. But we're going to make sure we're going to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Daniel, he that wins souls is wise. You can win an argument, but have you won a soul? Amen? And you can have your, you know, wax eloquent. I love it when, I won't name who, but there were certain preachers that got very well known for preaching. You could never, ever bring someone to a place of forgiveness and acceptance of Christ. And this is what they said. You could never truly bring anybody to a point of salvation without bringing the weight and the law and the condemnation of the Old Testament upon them first. And I know these people, I know these preachers, I think they're wrong. All you have to do is read the book of Galatians to figure that out. You with me here? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, you come back under the law. You with me here? And so I think we see some Christians, well-meaning, that are actually, frankly, majoring on minors. Jesus put it this way. We strain out the gnat and then we swallow the camel. We filter the gnat out of our water and yet we swallow a camel. And that's majoring on minors and minoring on majors. The best example I can give you is when I was a youth pastor and we had what I call a deacon-possessed church. Anybody know what a deacon-possessed church is? These were deacons that, I mean, this is a true story. We had youth on Saturday night. Every Sunday morning, the deacons would do an inspection as to how good a job I did making sure that the youth cleaned up after youth. Never once did these deacons ask, did anyone get saved? Never once did they ask, how was the youth service? Is the youth ministry growing? Are young people's lives being conformed into the likeness of Christ? The only thing they ever focused on was the building left clean? Now, I do understand the building should be left clean. I do understand that should not be holes in the walls. Or if there is, we ought to own it and say, we'll fix it. Of which there were occasionally holes in the walls, to tell you the truth. Young people, where there is no ox, the crib is clean. So you can have a clean church with no young people in it, or you can have a church full of young people, they're going to make some poop. That's why the Bible says, where there's no ox, the crib is clean. It's saying, where there's ox, strength, youth, there's going to be some poop. If you didn't know that's what the Bible was saying, that's what it's saying. So I'd rather put up with a little bit of poop. Oh, can we talk this morning? Okay, so this, I remember deacon business, and I remember one Sunday morning I got in, the deacon says, come with me. And I went, oh, here we go again. I hated being the youth pastor on Sunday mornings. It was like the Gestapo. And I said, what is it? And they said, look in here in the kitchen. Now, I knew this particular Saturday night, we had a big event, and I made sure everything was put back. And back in those days, can you believe this? Young people used to drink tea, hot tea. Hot tea. I still marvel at it when I think about it now. And I remember we'd done such a good job, cleaned every cup, put everything away, put everything back in the refrigerators, the trash cans were emptied, put out in the big dumpster outside. And they said, we have found something that is completely unacceptable. I said, what? What do I do? What do we do? What did we miss? And we left some used tea bags in the teapots. And they go, this is disgraceful. And I said, well, get a gun and shoot me now. I said, this is complete. I mean, why don't you just fire me on the spot? Because I'm telling you, a used tea bag was left in the teapot. I'm telling you, church, we got to be bigger than that. We got to be better than that. And we got to make sure. Amen. And I think there's a lot of, like, we're finding a lot of used tea bags on people. And I just think we got to get, okay, so here we go. So there we go. So week one, week two, listen to the CD, get the Vimeo. I don't have time. Are you ready for this? Okay, I'm going to give you, to me, a couple of what I think the book of Daniel that I want to focus on. Number one, Daniel, the book of Daniel shows us that God gives them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, surpassing health to that of the world's best diets laid out by kings and nobles. And in 10 days, God's health plan for food was revealed to be better than anything the world could ever offer. In 10 days, just the basic diet of God's health plan is better than anything the world could offer. All I'm saying is you live by the wisdom of God, you will live a healthier life. Amen. Second thing is there is this miraculous telling to Nebuchadnezzar of his dream. Remember Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he asked all the king's horses and all the king's men to tell him what the dream was. And they said, well, tell us what the dream was and we'll interpret it. And he goes, no, if you truly hear from the gods of heaven, they will tell you what my dream was. But if you don't tell me what my dream was, I'll kill you. Well, how many know you can interpret any dream once you know what the dream is? But if you know what the dream is, then you can't interpret it. So Daniel, of course, tells Nebuchadnezzar not only what the dream was, but its meaning. That's significant. And that's my major point for today's message. Number three, it shows the amazing deliverance of Daniel's three friends from a fiery furnace. Number four, it shows how Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this, I want you to put it in the context of who's governing Virginia. I want you to put it in the context of who's governing the United States. I want you to put it in the context of who's leading our nation today. This would be true of regardless who the president is. You with me here? It shows how Nebuchadnezzar was warned that if he didn't repent of his pride and his arrogance, he would spend 7 years of dehumanizing insanity in the wilderness as a beast, and then he ended up doing just that. One of my thoughts I want to give you today is the world's lost its mind, just like Nebuchadnezzar lost his. We're going to look at that. Number five, I want to show you how the reading of the writing of the wall of Belshazzar and actually how Daniel said the meaning of that word, and that was last week. We already did that. Many, many tekel, you're a Pharisee. Everybody got that? Okay. Number six, this is what the book of Daniel's about. Daniel's deliverance from the lion's den. Remember Daniel got thrown into the lion's den? And number seven, and perhaps more important than all that, it sums it up as this. All this clearly shows how God is in control. And listen to me now. He is perfectly able to deliver his people from pagan kings and cultures. I want to say it again. The most important underlying thing that I think comes out of the book of Daniel shows how God is in control and he's perfectly able to deliver his people from pagan kings and cultures. Okay, you ready for this? Number one, here's my first thought this morning. Take down pen and paper. Everybody online, Seaboard Road, we're glad you're watching. Okay, so number one, we must push back on ungodly culture. That's the first thought I want to give us this morning. Daniel 1, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official, want you to notice this, what did he do? He asked the chief official. This is out of the Bible. Daniel, in captivity, under subjection of a Babylonian king, he's in exile. He's kidnapped. He's learning the language and he's not pushing back on that. He's learning the literature. He's not pushing back on that. He's learning the culture. He's not pushing back on that. But on diet, he's going to push back. And how he pushes back is something we should pay attention to. He asked. See, it gets very quiet when I talk like this, but I want you to see it in the Bible. He asked, Ashpenaz, listen, you know, could you please let me eat the diet that I want? He's 15 years old and he's got enough of God in him to know that I will not eat the meat that's sacrificed to idols. Now, to me, if I'm reading that in my natural earthly mind, it's just food. It seems a little bit unimportant until you understand that Daniel had enough of God in him to realize he's Israeli. He's from the house of Hebrew. That's putting it poorly, but you understand. He's connected to the God of heaven. And God has given certain dietary restrictions. And 15 years of age, what 15-year-old go, oh, whatever. But not Daniel. But Daniel didn't go, well, I'm just not going to eat the food you're going to give me. He said, hey, I'm asking you, would you put me to the test with the others? Let me eat what I want for 10 days and let them eat what you feed them. See who's better, then you decide. That, my friends, is wisdom. That's pushing back with wisdom. Amen. So when I look at this, this is what I think. It seems such a small, insignificant matter, diet, but it's in small matters, great victories are won. You should write that down. In small matters, great victories are won. I remember when the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my socks walking out of my house. And you say, how do you know that was the Holy Spirit? It's so simple. What would make me think that thought? That is not a thought I would naturally think. But I believe the Holy Spirit was testing me. Will I be faithful in the little things? Luke 16, verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. So listen to me. Daniel learned the culture, the language, the literature. He went to the best schools. But listen, can I get you to think about this? What decisions have we made about ungodly culture that we won't compromise? Even if it's accepted in the world as norm, what decisions have we made that is ungodly, that is in culture, that we will not compromise to? Young people, sex before marriage. We decide our habits, but our habits do decide our future. Everybody's got the freedom of choice, but nobody has the freedom of consequences. Amen. Number two, listen to this. First thought, we must push back. And what are you pushing back on? Number two, we must decide to live holy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Hey, who's ever had, I got my hand raised in case you think it's a trick question. Who's ever had evil desires even as a Christian? Okay, so here's the Bible talking to you and I. Hey, as obedient children, do not conform. It's a choice. To the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I used to just give into those things. I used to conform. Are you hearing me? But just as he who has called you, listen to this, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Okay? For it is written, be holy because I'm holy. So now you go, oh, wait a minute. Here's Steve. Is he going all old school, heavy, Pentecostal holiness preaching on us? Let me tell you what holiness is. Holiness is living a life that is separated to God. That's what holiness is. You are separate. We're in the world, we're not of it. Who's ever been in a crowd, maybe a party, and it's full of people, and you're standing there as a believer, and everyone around you isn't. By the way, if you're not around non-believers, you need to be. If you don't have any non-believing friends, you're a prisoner within a religious culture. But I got to tell you, I have found myself at times going, God, I'm here, but I don't relate to this. And there's this sense of like, I feel like, God, it's, you know what it is? It's that moment of realizing that I'm separated. And I feel this connection and intimacy with God, and I feel God is with me. And I realized that I'm living my life with this sense of separation. I'm in the world, I'm not of it. That's what holiness is. Number two, holiness is living a life that is devoted to God. I relate to the Apostle Paul. Paul said, and if Paul said this, who wrote 2/3 in the New Testament, I feel like I'm in good company. Paul said, listen, the things I should do, I don't do. Anybody relate to that? And then he goes, and the things I shouldn't do, I do. Who relates to that? The rest of you are a bunch of lying dogs. I'm going to try that one more time. How many can relate to the things you should do, you don't do? How many can relate to that? If you don't have your hand raised, would you please show us how spiritual you are and fly around the room? Oh, there's things that I know I'm supposed to do and I don't do it. And there's things I know I'm not supposed to do. And darn it if I don't do it. So I feel, now, I'm not about holiness as living in some sense of you are in complete perfection, but as a decision that I'm going to live my life separated. I'm going to live my life devoted to God. I'm going to live my life in service to God. See, I've never struggled with Sunday. I'm not wondering, should I be at the beach this morning when the sun's up like some people do? First sign of good, there's someone ringing right now on the phone. Hey, surf's up. Okay, I'm not going, oh, should I go to church or should I? Can I tell you something? I counted that cost long ago. As for me and my house, I'll be found in God's house. And then everything else comes after that, but I am in God's house. Holiness is living a life of service to God. Everything I do is for God. And number four, holiness, and this is the most important part, I think, is being in one mind with God and wanting God's will. Being in one mind with God, that's, I think, is what holiness is. Are you hearing me? And so watch, Daniel, I love this about Daniel because we're talking about this thought about living a life that is holy. Daniel was living a holy life in an ungodly culture. He learned the language, he learned the literature, and listen what he did. He asked not just for permission on the diet, but he asked for time to pray to learn from God what the dream that the king had so he could give its meaning. And so here's what I want to say as I start this out, today. Christians, listen to me. Stop calling out men and women of God who've been given an opportunity to be around people of influence in leadership and in government, and you judging just their being there with a president or a governor because you're judging they must be aligning themselves with that political party. No, it's a Daniel in the king's palace and we're to pray for them. And I get tired of seeing church calling out pastors for being at the president, at the White House, and they're going, you sell out, and they're judging them. Can I say, when I see a pastor, a man or a woman of God, in any position of a political, influential person, I think to myself, there is God putting a Daniel in that person's life, and I'm praying for that person that they'd have boldness to bring the word of the Lord to that person. Amen. Some of you won't like it, but I'm telling you right now, if I ever get invited by the White House, regardless who the president is, I'm going. And I don't care what you think. I don't. Praise the Lord. Okay, so here's what happens here. Watch this. Daniel has this history of Moses and Joseph in his mind. And he's thinking about all these people who were taken out of godly cultures and taken into captivity, and God used them. He's got this history. Joseph was that. He was taken out of his dad's house and put in as a slave and then put in jail and then ends up becoming prominent in Pharaoh's palace and becomes the second most powerful man in the known world. He's got Moses, who chose to identify himself as a Hebrew rather than an Egyptian. He could have lived in luxury, but no, Moses went, no, God's on me. I've got a heritage. I've got a faith. I've got a lineage. I've got a connection with God, and I'm not just going to live in the king's palace and just live here in luxury. The same thing's true about Esther. Are you hearing me? And Daniel's got all this in his history. He's got all this in his mind. And see, the Bible says, Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. That's what I love about church being on Great Neck Road. Is we cannot be hidden. People drive by here all the time. Do you know what this church says to everybody who drives by? The church of Jesus is alive and she's well. Amen. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. I mean, what's the point of that? Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Post on social media, everybody you don't agree with. No, is that what it says? In the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Number three, listen to this. We need to not just be holy. We need not just put back, but we need to distinguish ourselves. It says in Daniel 1 verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them to be 10 times better. Oh man, than all the king's horses and all the king's men. Daniel 6 verse 3, Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps. He had an excellent spirit that was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him up over the whole realm. Proverbs 22 verse 29, listen, write this down for your job. Write this down for your aspirations. Write this down for your dreams, for your leadership, for your calling. Do you see a man who excels in his work, not somebody who just gets your work on time and does the minimum? Not just somebody who just checks in and checks out. Do you see a man or a woman who excels? It's not hard to stick out in today's generation. It's not hard. You just got to do a little bit more than everybody else, which isn't a whole lot more. This last 2 weeks, I've been trying to buy a new car. 3 different car companies. Not one of them has called me back. I'm shocked. One of them said, I'll call you back in 20 minutes. I'm sorry I didn't call you. This is after 2 days of waiting for the call. He never called back. I'm still waiting for his call. Needless to say, I won't be buying a car from them. It's not hard. So you see a man who excels in his work? Look what it says. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Amen? This week, I ordered some food. I actually ordered food from several different restaurants, one of which they got everybody's meal right except mine. And that happens to me a lot if you know me. I had this, Tobe, I mean, you're laughing. You know it's true. It is amazing how they'll always get mine wrong. And so I couldn't call the restaurant because they weren't answering their phones. How many? I'm a little annoyed. A little annoyed. I've got Sam, my son, and Laurie, my son, my daughter-in-law, and their children. We're having dinner together. It was Sharon's birthday. We're trying to work it all out. We had a couple of nights. This is one particular night. And then I tried to go online to make a comment. Could you please start cooking the food that's missing? Couldn't go. I could only order more food and pay for it. So I got in my car, drove down there, and I said, hey, guys, how are you? Bit of a shame. You missed my meal. Oh, well, we're so busy. We're just so, so busy. I said, yeah, I know, but come on. You missed my meal. Can you cook my meal? And they go, wait a minute. This is like 45 minutes after. Oh, it's been sitting here the whole time. Here, it's yours. Take it now. I said, no, you don't understand. This is, I don't want to name the restaurant, but it was food that you would not eat cold. And I said, no. I'll wait here while you make some more. So, and I said, but what's annoying is I tried calling you and you never answered your phone. I tried emailing you, but you actually wouldn't let me contact you unless I ordered more food and paid for food that I already paid for that you didn't give me. And rather than just say, yeah, sorry about that, it was all these excuses. Do you see a man who excels in his work? It's not hard. Now, by the way, I'll go back to that restaurant. It's good. And that is a photograph, not the movie. Are you hearing me? Also, I'm trying to say is just a simple little sorry would have made it good. I'm not asking you to just, you know, cow down, play dead. I'm just going, yeah, sorry about that. It was a mistake. And could you answer your phone? Do you see a man who excels in his work? Are you hearing me? And I believe that's the spirit of Daniel that should be on you and I. It's very quiet in here. We'll keep moving. Okay, so here's my big thought. You ready for this? Everybody say big thought. This is a really big thought. I want you to write it down. I promise you, I'll only go as far as I get and then I'll stop. Okay, Daniel understands dreams and visions. What am I saying here? I'm saying that we should distinguish ourselves. And what I want to bring out to you here is this statue. Look at this statue. This is a statue that the king had. And it says here, he couldn't understand the meaning of this dream, of this statue. And this giant ball, this rock came and crushed it all. And the head was made of gold. The mid part, the chest was made of silver. And let's just go through it. You ready for it? So the head was made of gold, which stood for Nebuchadnezzar himself. Nebuchadnezzar going, what's this dream I had? Well, the whole thing was wiped out. And Daniel distinguished himself by not just being able to see and understand the dream, but to give meaning to it. And I got to tell you, the world are having dreams right now. And our job is to help give meaning to the world's confusion. The world's very confused right now. And it's the job of the church to bring clarity and understanding to what they're confused with. And this is what we do. People say, what's the world coming to? And all Christians do is, the end. No. We've got to help people. We got to speak their language. We got to understand the language and the culture of the day. So here's what happens. He goes, Nebuchadnezzar, the head is you. And he is the head, the king of Babylon. Babylon was the first prototype of all world empires. Study world history. Babylon was the first prototype of all world histories, of all world empire. Matter of fact, the Bible introduces Babylon early in Scripture, as early as Genesis 10. I want you to catch this. It says in verses 8 to 12, it was actually Nimrod's empire. And the place where, and this is the place rather, that men banded together against God, and God scattered them by confusion of their language in Genesis 11. This is the tower, watch this, of what? Babel. It's the tower of Babylon. So Babylonian empire started way back in Genesis. And here Daniel is bringing an interpretation and meaning to this. King, you are the king of Babylon. Okay, now watch this. Babylon always had been great. And it now, under Nebuchadnezzar, has risen to new heights of unmatched significance under Nebuchadnezzar. One of the things Nebuchadnezzar was famous for was the Hanging Gardens, one of the ancient wonders of the world. Okay, now notice who put Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon as king. Look what the Bible says, Daniel 2. Your majesty, this is Daniel, you are the king of kings. Watch, the God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands, he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the fields and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you rule over all of them. You are that head of gold. Can everybody see that? There's been a Babylonian empire since Genesis, but this is the most unmatched. You hearing me? And God's made you the head. Now watch this. Nebuchadnezzar disputes this for the next two chapters. Oh, it's got nothing to do with God. It's me. It's my success. It's my leadership. And the Bible says, listen, that God drove Nebuchadnezzar out into the wilderness as a wild man for 7 years who lost his mind. And then Nebuchadnezzar humbles himself. And look what even Nebuchadnezzar says in Daniel 4. All the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. God does and what he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say, what have you done? Here is Nebuchadnezzar himself, who eventually humbles himself and acknowledges it was God. I am not worried who the president of the United States is. I'm not worried about a world power and so global world theory of, you know, any. I just understand whatever man does, God is in charge of it all. That does not mean I'm going to lay down and die. Does not mean I'm going to let the world roll all over me. But I understand God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. He can deal with any king, any president. He is in charge. Okay, now watch this. The second part of the statue was silver. Now, this is Daniel. Daniel was giving Nebuchadnezzar understanding from Genesis to today, but now he's going to take him all the way. Look what the Bible says. It actually speaks of silver, represents a kingdom that will succeed, that will be his successor, but will be inferior to Nebuchadnezzar. And this was the Medes and the Persians, which brings in in the book of Daniel chapter 5, Darius. And the third part of the statue was made of brass. Look at that. And it represents the kingdom of the Greeks. This is Daniel giving prophecy as to what's going to happen, not just from Nebuchadnezzar forwards, but right back. And it says here, it was actually made of brass, which represents the kingdom of the Greeks. This is where Alexander the Great kicks in. And Alexander the Great was an incredible military genius. And then he goes, the fourth part of the statue, which is made of iron. And then it goes on and talks about then the feet, which is mixed with baked clay and of iron. And it's still hundreds of years off in the future, but Daniel describes it accurately. The fourth kingdom is strong because there's iron, and iron breaks and smashes everything, but the toes that are mixed with clay and iron are smashed to pieces. Can I just say this to you? Listen to this. God is sovereign. He knows from the beginning to the end. He is Alpha and He is Omega. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What are we doing getting all twisted in a moment of time without understanding that God has always been in charge, will always be in charge, way back in Genesis, right up to Nebuchadnezzar, and on into the future. God knows what He's doing. Isaiah 46, I have made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do as I please. Come hell or high water, come Nebuchadnezzar, come any ruler, come any leader, come any king, come any president, God is sovereign. He is Alpha and Omega. Now what we don't do, number four, is we don't bow to the world's unreasonable demands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told, if you don't bow, we'll throw you into the fiery furnace. Do you know what they said? They said, hey, king, listen, our God is able to deliver us. And even if He doesn't, He's still God. Sometimes you will suffer wrong by doing right. As Christians, there will be some times of persecution. Amen? So here's my fifth thought. The world has lost its mind. It's nuts. It's crazy. I want you to think about this for a moment. And this may offend some people. I don't mean to offend anybody. I really don't. But let me tell you something. Think about Daniel when they changed his name. And they changed his name from a gift from God to now Belshazzar, which simply means a woman protecting the king. There was a gender identity change in that moment. And I just want to say, just listen, I understand we live in a fallen and a broken world and people are confused about their own biology. I understand that. I understand this is the world in which we live. I have nothing but grace and mercy for people and want to love people. And I just want people to meet Jesus and let God sort that out. Are you hearing me? And so I'm not going to sit in judgment, but when I see, and I mean this, when I see the word America right now allowing men who identify as women to compete in women's athletic sports, I think to myself, that's wrong. The world has lost its mind. Men who identify as women can compete in women's sports. I don't think that's fair to women. I think that puts all sorts of challenges and threats to a female's ability to get scholarship and sport and be able to compete at a fair level. Now, you may not agree with me. That's fine. You're entitled to be wrong. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. But somehow, here's another one. Now, this has got nothing to do with the first comment. But I think today we live in a culture where I've seen certain districts in the United States redefine a pedophile. For instance, a pedophile, according to the dictionary, is a sexual perversion in which children are the preferred sexual object. Do you know what we're calling it now in the United States in some areas? Listen to it. Lovers of children. My friends, the world's lost its mind. Okay, here's another one. A dad in Canada went to jail. A father of a young child went to jail because he would not refer to his daughter as her chosen identity. He went to jail. Because he said, no, you are my daughter, young child. You with me here? We've lost our mind. Here's another one. We shut down people's social media accounts if we don't like or agree with them. What happened to the freedom of speech? We've lost our mind. Okay, here's another one. Abortion is murder. And we now, in this state, the state of Virginia, this time last year, Easter, the governor of Virginia, look at this media post. The governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, announced on Good Friday that he has signed into law a new bill that actually allows full-term abortion. My friends, we've lost our minds. A woman can have a child, the baby can be born, nothing wrong with the baby, and the mother can say, I don't want it, and they will allow that baby to die comfortably. My friends, that's murder. thou shalt not kill. Are you here? And you know what? We're living in a world where we just think that's okay. And yet I see all these people protesting about save the seals. And yes, I care about the seals. But where are we crying for the rights of unborn babies? Where's the passion of that? We strain out the gnat and we swallow a camel. Jesus said it just like that. You blind guides, you strain out the gnat and you swallow a camel. My sixth thought is what I already just made reference to. Sometimes in doing right, you will suffer wrong. And Daniel knew that there was a law made that you weren't allowed to pray to any other god except for the god that the king Darius had made. And the people who were jealous of Daniel were trying to set Daniel up. And the Bible says they could find no fault in him except in his devotion to his God. There was no corruption. There was no illegitimate governance. There was no bad leadership. Except they knew this man was devoted to the God of heaven, the God of Israel. To Jehovah, to Yahweh. So these satraps and governors and administrators tricked King Darius because they knew King Darius liked Daniel. They tricked him into signing into law that anybody who doesn't pray when they're supposed to pray to the God and the image that Darius had made will be thrown into the lion's den. They knew that Daniel would not bow to that. What evidence would there be on you if Christianity became illegal? Daniel knew it was signed into law and he wouldn't do what the culture demanded. And he ended up in the lion's den. And I want to show you in the New Testament as I close what that looks like. Watch this. In Acts chapter 4, singers, musicians, come on back. Praise the Lord. I told you I was going to finish on time and I'm going to. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. It says here, well, let me just break into the story. The Bible says that Peter and John were on their way to the temple and a man asked them for money. And they said, silver and gold, watch this, have I none. He was lame from birth. Everybody say from birth. Okay. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The whole city was in revival over this miracle. And now the Bible says here that the captain and the temple guard and the Sadducees were angry because they were preaching about being Jesus being resurrected from the dead. The Sadducees never even believed in resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. I thought that was funny myself. Okay, and they forbade them to ever preach in the name of Jesus. But they had to be careful because everybody was following. Why? Not just because they were preaching, but because of the power and the evidence of what they preached. A man that was healed, that was lame from birth. Everybody see that? So let me just go down. Acts chapter 4, it says, they called them again and they commanded them in verse 18 not to speak or to teach the name of Jesus. And look at the response. Watch this, New Testament. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes? For us to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help but speaking out what we've seen and heard. And they gave further threats and they let them go. Now they pray, and this is my closing thought. You ready for this? God, what do we do with these threats? We were told by government, by authority, we can't preach your name anymore. And look what they did. They said, now Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Watch this. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders for your name, holy servant Jesus. And they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Here's what I want to say. And this is it. You ready for this? How do we push back on culture? Well, we can tell, the world can tell us the church needs to be quiet and shut up. But I want to tell you, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of somebody with an argument. And the role of the church, listen to me now, as they were forbidden to preach and teach the name of Jesus in that day, they prayed for boldness. And the answer to the prayer of boldness was signs, wonders, miracles, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. My friends, if I've learned anything, the answer to the cultural cancel dilemma that we are facing today is not trying to win an argument. The kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. And it is our job to make sure that we are bold in telling people who Jesus is and to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. There ought to be signs and wonders and miracles. Come on, somebody say amen. That will shut the mouths of our accusers with the inescapable evidence that God heals, God saves, God restores, God can get you out of that crippled place and get you walking again. God can get you free of that addiction. God can heal you. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, my friends. That is the answer to the cultural dilemma we're facing today, is a demonstration of the power of God. Can anybody say amen? Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. If it was, I would have taken it over by now. And the closing thought, we're just passing through. And we got to make sure we're not fixated on temporal life. We got to make sure we're focused on eternal life. And we will spend a lot more time, hear me, we will spend a lot more time in eternity than we ever will on temporal life. No wonder the Bible says he'll wipe the tears from our eyes. I think then it'll only be then for some of us, and I don't think it'll be, I think it's true for all of us, will we realize just how much eternity mattered on earth and how much of our life that we ought to be preoccupied with making sure that we are first citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And our job here on earth is to not win as many arguments as we can, but to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. Can anybody say amen and give the Lord a hand of praise? Amen? So I know there'll be plenty of people saying, well, why don't you talk about this? Well, I would love to talk more about it. I had three Sundays that I wanted to do this series of the book of Daniel. We got a lot more series planned out for the rest of the year, but I've had it in my heart since October to actually teach out of the book of Daniel and talk about how do we actually make sure that we are kingdom-minded Christians, and we are citizens of earth, of heaven, before we're citizens of earth. Amen. And our job is how to actually make sure that we can learn the language, learn the literature, even learn the culture, but we know when and where and how to push back. Amen. Can I pray for you this morning before I give the service back to Josh? I want to pray for you and everybody online at Seaboard Road. I want to pray for you if you don't yet know Jesus. Everybody online, there are people here who are watching, and I want to encourage you. Why don't you put your faith in a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? God is in your future waiting you for to catch up. Listen to me. The Bible says, before you were born, says the Lord, I knew you, I formed you, I fashioned you. The Bible says, I was there in your mother's womb. Before one day had ever come to being, God was preordained every day of your life. The Bible talks about many, many tackle, you're a Pharisee, how we got to number our days. We got to weigh our lives in the context of eternity. My friend, are you right with God? Could I pray for you if you don't know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus online, I want you to click that button right there and you make a decision right here, right now. I'm going to get right with God. I want to pray for people who are in this service and you say, Steve, pray for me. I don't know this God that you speak of. Let me tell you something. He's in your past. He's in your present. He is in your future. He is trustworthy. He knows from the beginning to the end. You can trust in him. A church will fail you. A pastor will fail you. Your health will fail you. Your finances will fail you. Come on, somebody. You will let yourself down. Your best promises you make, let me tell you, you can't live up to them. God knows that we're broken. That's why he came. That's why he sent Jesus. When he looks at you, listen to me, he sees the blood. Jesus went to the cross so that your sins will be forgiven, so that you can have newness of life. Friend, can I pray for you today? If you say, Steve, I don't know him. Steve, I'm not right with God. I want to pray with you and for you. Come on, church, you believing with me? People are going to meet Jesus. I know we're kind of spread out. I know we're socially distancing, but there ought to be no lack of compassion. There ought to be no lack of faith. Can you believe with me in the name of Jesus, wherever you're seated, that people are going to meet Jesus right here and right now? All I want to do is pray for you. All over this building, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to bow our heads. Online, I want to encourage you as well. Come on, you click that button. You make a decision to get right with God. But I want you, wherever you're seated in this building, and God knows where you are, and God knows who you are, and God knows every number of hair on your head. He knows everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done. And here's the good news. He still loves you. I would love to pray for you. If you say, Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you to do one simple thing. Listen, one simple thing. I want you to take your hand and I just want you to lift it in the air and say, Steve, pray for me. That's it. God bless you. Keep lifting your hand. God bless you. Keep lifting your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting your hand. I'm looking for you. Come on, I'm looking for you up there in the upper sections there. I'm looking. God bless you right there. Who else will lift your hand? Give it a wave if I haven't seen it. God bless you. God bless you. And wonderful. There's hands being raised all over the building. My last call, if you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, lift it right now. Let me see it so I can pray with you and for you in the name of Jesus. My last call. God bless you. There's two more hands right there. Church, can we give a lot of hand? Many, many people making that decision. No, 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 no. Don't give God a golf clap. People are making a decision. The kingdom is not in word, it's in power. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And every person who lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I'm now a Christian. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.